Welcome back to the ACC. Eric Smith, Paul Jones with you. The wrap begins from Real Sports Apparel with the phone lines open at 416-870-0591, 888-666-0590, star 590 on your cell. The Raptors tonight losing to the Cleveland Cavaliers, 84-80, the final. And it got away from the Raptors in the final frame, 33-17. The Cavs outscore the Raptors as they laid it on them early in the fourth, Jonesy. And Cleveland did to Toronto what Toronto did to Philly on Wednesday, dominating the fourth. At one point, the Raptors, eight, 9 minutes into the fourth quarter, had 5 points. They end up putting 17 on the board, but it didn't matter as they lose by four, 84-80, their first loss to the Cavs all year. And I guess Tank Nation is quite happy with this one right now. The Raptors, again, 3-1 against the Cavs, but at the end of the day, it still means another loss for the Tankers, and Toronto now at 20-36 as they head into the weekend with a double dip going against the Oklahoma City Thunder on Sunday and then in Indy to face the Pacers on Monday.
Well, Antoine Jameson was a guy that did the damage in that fourth quarter, and even though Cleveland shoots 34% for the game, you know, they're 9 of 19 in the fourth quarter. And while you might think, well, what's the big deal, you know, considering they were 29% going into that quarter, that's not bad. Cleveland did some damage, 3 of those coming from behind the arc, 3 of 5 from distance. But as we said downstairs, Antoine Jameson, the veteran leading the charge, and boy, he was terrific, especially early on. And you know, once Cleveland made a move and sliced the lead to within single digits, you could just feel that they had the momentum. They just felt that, you know, as it often happens in basketball, one team starts shooting at, you know, a sewer, throwing it in the ocean, and the other team, their basket starts to shrink and get smaller and smaller and smaller. And pretty soon you're trying to balance it on a teacup up there, and that's what happened for the Raptors. Give Cleveland's defense credit. But the Raptors had a tough time scoring in that fourth quarter.
416-870-0591, 888-666-0590, star 590 on your cell. The Raptors again losing 84-80 to the Cavs. And we'll take your phone calls right up until 11 o'clock. Norm Rumack comes on the air at 11 to take over. So we've got the next 35 minutes or so to take your calls. Time permitting, we're trying to get in some reaction from the locker room before 11 o'clock as well. Can't imagine that Dwayne Casey's too happy with this one, the way he got away from them in the fourth quarter. And for the second straight game, James Johnson does not play at all. DNP CD for James Johnson. So the ongoing issue of the fact that there was some sort of disagreement between him and Dwayne Casey, it's being handled internally. Everybody seems mum on the subject, on the topic. Nobody wants to reveal any details. What little I know of what did or didn't go down, it sounds like it was just a disagreement. Some words were spoken, and the coach is sending a message right now. How long is that message? It's been two games now. I don't know if it'll be 10 more games, one more game, or if it's done. I have no idea because it's an internal issue that nobody's making a comment on at this point. It seems like, Jonesy, James Johnson is the kind of guy that would learn a lesson based on what we know of him and his personality, but also probably got himself into some hot water based on the type of person he is as well, where he can be a little bit...
The sword has two edges, right?
Yeah.
The strength is also the weakness, you know, if you can't control it, that competitiveness, that fire, and it burns, and sometimes it burns the wrong way and burns you. And you're right, Eric. We don't know because it's an internal issue. We don't know what discussions go on. We don't know what happens at practice. Are there little comments or actions made that kind of perpetuate, that show that maybe things aren't going the way the coach wanted? Maybe the learning curve isn't in the right spot the way it should be. And for whatever reason, James Johnson has not played for the last couple of games. And we're not going to speculate on why. But hey, Alan Anderson's taking advantage of it. He's the guy in there playing. And when Dwayne Casey is ready to put James Johnson back in the lineup, I'm sure he'll get back in.
416-870-0591, 888-666-0590, star 590 on your cell. Let's grab a phone call right now with, is it Gnome in Toronto? Go ahead, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hi, guys. How are you? First of
good,
all,
thanks.
I want to wish you a nice holidays.
You too. Have
thanks.
A good holiday
Same to you, man.
Thanks, man. A special shout-out to Jonesy. I know you're a former teacher. I am a teacher as well. And I also love playing at the Hoop Dome with your buddy Ted Badner. A great facility, so thank you for that.
Yeah, well, Ted and former Raptor GM Glenn Grunwald got me involved, and if it's for hoops and it's for a good cause, and heck, make a little money while you're at it, why not? And as a teacher, man, I'll say, I know what your life is like. Just keep grinding it. It pays off.
Thanks, buddy. I just had two questions for you guys. The first one is, if the season was to end today, what was our percentages or chances of getting, I guess, the Davis sweepstakes, or where you think we'd be in the draft? And also, the year we got Bargnani number one. I know that was quite the steal. Do you know where we were supposed to end up in that lottery?
Good questions. I think there's about an 8%, 8 to 12% chance now.
It's actually half of that. If the Raptors right now have the seventh worst record in the league, so going based on last year's percentages, last year's numbers, the Pistons last year had the seventh worst record in the NBA, and they had a 4.3% chance of getting the number one pick.
Okay.
So you're looking at about a 4 to 4.5% chance right now, as it stands right now, this very second, with the seventh worst record in the NBA, a 4 to 4.5% chance of getting the number one pick.
Hey, but it happens.
Now,
right?
As for the second part of the question, I'd have to go back and double check. I honestly don't remember where they were positioned. Well, as we're talking here, we'll find that information out for you. But off the top of my head, I don't recall. I'll kind of cram for that right now and see if we can get the information as soon as possible.
Yeah, no, and you know, the number that we always bring up is four times as a team with the worst record actually won the lottery last year. Cleveland got the number one pick, but it wasn't their pick. It was a pick that was acquired in a trade. You just never know, and that's why it's a lottery. That's the ping pong balls fall the way they do. And, you know, if you're Toronto, I think trying to win is never a bad thing, because you're also trying to attract free agents. You're trying to, you know, change the culture, change the perception of your team with officials and around the league. So, yeah, you have a chance for that number one pick, but even then, there's still a lot of work to be done, even if you get that guy.
Just double-checked for you as well. It was the fifth worst record that year. So the Raptors had an 8.8% chance of getting the number one pick and actually won the lottery. So that season, they had the fifth worst record at 27-55. That gave them about 8.8% chance, and they actually won the lottery that year. Now, that's double than what it would be right now at 4.3, but either way, it happens. You got your tank rolling, Jones?
The tank is rolling.
416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. A couple lines open if you want to join the conversation and talk about this one, as the Raptors again lose by four to the Cleveland Cavaliers. And Jonesy, now you hit that portion of the schedule. We were talking about it off the top of the broadcast where, you know, I grant you that two of the last three wins prior to tonight were against Charlotte and Washington. It was a solid win on the road in Philadelphia, but a Cleveland Cavaliers team that came in with a 9-game losing streak and finally busted that with this victory tonight. And now the schedule certainly doesn't get easy for the Raptors, sitting at 20-36 as you look ahead to playoff team in Oklahoma City, playoff team in Indiana, and then go even further now into the schedule and look at the remaining games for the
Philly,
year.
Boston. Yep. Philly and Boston both come to town. Then you've got a home-and-home with Atlanta. Wow, there's a stretch of, what, 5-6 playoff teams right there?
Then Milwaukee, who's on the bubble trying to track down the Knicks. Then the Pistons, Milwaukee again, then ending the season with New Jersey. So certainly the next six games, not a cakewalk by any stretch of the imagination, and we'll see if by the time Sunday rolls around, the eye maybe has gone down in terms of the swelling for Jose Calderon to possibly get him back on the floor. Because as well as Ben Uzo played in spurts tonight, finished the ball game with only one turnover, had 9 points, 3 assists, 6 rebounds. Statistically speaking and production-wise, not bad, but no doubt missing the playmaker, the patience, the veteran influence of a guy like Calderon tonight.
And the shot-making too, Eric, late in the clock, if the ball is swinging and it gets to Calderon, you know, Ben Uzo is more prone to drive the ball to the goal, to get it inside. I don't know. And he hasn't shown us. Maybe it's not the role they want for him. Maybe he's not comfortable doing it. He hasn't shown us the long-range prowess. But Jose Calderon, we know if they, you know, sag off or play that pick-and-roll incorrectly, good decision-maker, he can make long jumpers too. I really thought they missed Jose's ability. The couple times late in the game too, they ran the offense late into the shot clock, ended up with some tough looks right at the end of the shot clock.
Let me ask you this as well, just because it's a because it's a point to bring up. It's definitely a bit of a theme from the game based on the fact that it was another, again, DNP CD for James Johnson. I will say, before I even ask you the question, that I don't mind if the coach is sending a message, the coach is in charge, and you know, the whole idea of you don't want to let the inmates run the asylum. I don't know what the deal was. I don't know the whole story. But I'm going to assume, based on the type of person, let alone the type of coach that Dwayne Casey has been, he's got every reason to take this stand against one of his players. And again, I don't know if it's now over with, it's two games, or if this is going to continue on to the next game. I don't know. That said, from a coaching perspective, from a trying to win, it is difficult, I would assume, to balance sending a message and taking a stand versus trying to win a game. Because, you know, tell me if you agree or not. In a game like this, against a team without a true five, without a true bruiser, going with a smaller lineup, with an athletic front court of guys like Tristan Thompson and Anton Jameson, and even coming off the bench with Samardo Samuels, a 6'7", 6'8", 3 that can play the 4, that plays physical, that plays defense, could have, would have been a pretty good matchup against any one of those guys.
No question. But, look, Dwayne Casey also knows that if he's going to have James Johnson going forward, he needs to have him doing exactly what he needs to do. I refer back to, in 1980, the USA and Canada boycotted the Olympics because of political overtones. In 84, the U.S. had, think about that draft, had one of the most powerful Olympic teams. The guys going in, the guys that could have potentially been on that team. I mean, you think about Jordan, Ewing, Perkins. They had so many terrific players that were available. Karl Malone, Stockton, all of these guys were collegiate guys still. And so was a guy named Charles Barkley, who apparently was just wrecking shop in the tryouts. The tryouts were held in a spot where Bobby Knight, the head coach Bob Knight, was on a scaffold above, and he watched over three courts. And guys would tell me every time there was a large bang, there was a dunk, it was Barkley almost ripping the hoop down at the other end. But strangely enough, Knight did not pick Barkley. And it was one of those things where he felt, people tell me, true or not, he felt, one, because Barkley was part of a team that lost to Canada in 82, he didn't want any of those guys. And two, there was a chance that Charles Barkley might not listen and might go off the board at a key time. So Bob Knight said, you know what? I don't care how good you are. I'm not going to take you. Is that true? I don't know. Those are some of the rumors and things that people were saying to me. Still, he had a heck of a team with the likes of Alvin Robertson. And I just named some of those other guys that were, you know, Ewing, Jordan, terrific players that he took. Jeff Turner, Joe Klein. These guys were all first-round draft picks. But a coach is inclined to my way. This is the way I want it done. And this has got to be the message that Dwayne Casey is sending right now to James Johnson. It's like disciplining a kid. Doesn't mean I don't love you, but that's not the way we do it. This is the way we do it.
416-870-0591, 888-666-0590, star 590 on your cell. If you're on the line, stay there. We're going to get to you in just a couple of moments. We'll get the 40 Sports update, then come right back to you and your calls till the top of the hour, till 11 o'clock, but another 20 minutes to take your calls and talk about this one, break it down as the Raptors lose to the Cavs 84-80 on Toronto Raptors basketball on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Welcome back to The Wrap on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, Paul Jones, Eric Smith with you. The Raptors tonight losing to the Cavs, 84-80. Phone lines are open at 416-870-0591, 888-666-0590, star 590 on your cell. Again, Toronto losing by 4, falling to 20-36. Raptors will hop on a plane tomorrow, mid-afternoon, to head out to Oklahoma City for their next game against the Thunder on Sunday, then fly to Indy for the back-to-back against the Pacers on Monday before coming back home for next Wednesday and Friday.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Was it not a season sweep last year over the OKC Thunder?
I believe it was.
Yeah, because they beat him here without Durant.
Yes.
And then Barbosa hit the three on a well-executed play.
Yes.
To nail him down in OKC.
So you're saying you could have been looking at a drive for five, but the Cavs messed that up by getting the win tonight.
Yeah, they'll be looking for payback. Plus, the tank's going downhill right now.
Well, the tank's driving its way to OKC for the next one on Sunday, Easter Sunday. Happy Easter weekend to everybody out there, and to those that are celebrating Passover as well this evening with friends and family. Hope you're tuned into the broadcast right now as well. We go to Akash, somewhere hanging out here at Real Sports or just outside. Go ahead, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Yes, I am. Great. Thanks for having me, guys. Two quick questions. Is Valanciunas a legit five? And really quickly, how realistic of a chance do we have of winning the next three games? I know OKC and Philly are strong teams, but I have a feeling we can pull it out at least one of the three, or maybe even two. What do you guys think? Thanks, guys.
All right, Cash. Appreciate the phone call. Valanciunas, by all indications, legit, yes. But,
and if you heard the Sonny Weems interview with us, Sonny said, he's a five. He rolls hard. He protects the rim. Their team was the rival to Sonny's team. And, Eric, most people have said Anthony Davis is the number one in this draft pick. And as we asked the question, who's number two, the word is if Valanciunas was in this draft, he would be the clear number two.
So in some senses, I guess you could look at it and say it's almost like a Cleveland version of last year getting two top five picks.
Yeah.
If the Raptors were to end up in the top five, right now, again, they're sitting in that seventh slot with a 4.3-ish percent chance of winning the lottery. So, yeah, it sounds like by all indications he is a legit five, but obviously the transition coming from overseas to North America, there's going to, I would assume, be a little bit of wiggle room, a little bit of opportunity to grow and maybe not just come in and take the world by fire, by storm right away. The schedule coming up, yeah, it's going to be tough. This team, for the most part, through 56 games, has played hard. We're talking about a top 10 defense overall, but they coughed it up 33 points in the fourth quarter tonight, and clearly much more talent coming to town when you talk about OKC, Indy, Philly, Boston, two against Atlanta. It's going to be a tough stretch there, Cash. So, I can't sit here and make predictions, two, three, whatever, but it's going to be a tough road to hoe, especially if they're not healthy, as they're still going without Bayless. Forbes hasn't played now in, what, three games?
Yeah.
And now Calderon missing this one. I would assume at some point, Sunday or Monday, you're going to get Jose back because the swelling will go down to the point where he'll be able to play.
Dwayne Casey said tonight in pregame he thought Sunday might be the night we see Calderon. But then again, if Jose can't see, he's not going to be much good to you.
416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. Let's go to Barry in St. Catharines. You're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Barry.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Long-time listener to The Fan, first-time caller to the Raptors post-game show.
But thanks, Barry.
No problem. Anyways, Wednesday there's a Philly's coming to town or whatever, but I'm coming down for the Blue Jay game, and I'm going to go to the Raptor game, first Raptor game. Anyways, an extra $10 isn't going to kill me or whatever. But to make a long story short or whatever, I'm sitting here tonight. I'm listening to the whole game in my car or whatever. I don't know if you ever heard this story sitting there, but nobody's home or whatever. Like, I know Calderon the name, and I know Barnyarny the name or whatever, and basically nobody else is home right now for me as a casual fan. It's almost like the last 15 years for the Blue Jays or whatever. You're sitting there, you're listening, but they're not going nowhere. Finally this year, Alex Anthopoulos or whatever, there's good news coming and you can feel the vibe. And, I'm almost, I'm listening to the games and I'm looking more forward to the post-game show to hear the negativity because there's no positivity coming. And maybe for me as a casual fan or whatever, I think it's going to take at least one winning season before there's even a vibe because I don't mean to be negative or nothing, but I'm getting no vibe right now. And
all right, Barry. Hey, man, thanks for the call. And winning does that. Winning helps, no question about it. And when I look at the Jays right now and what's happening with the Blue Jays, if I were to make a comparison, names like Eric Thames and guys that were kind of on the periphery, they become bigger names or they become more scrutinized and accepted parts of a winning team. And I think that's what's going on with the Raptors. As this thing builds, some of the guys, Barry, that you've never heard of, I mean, they become bigger names. They become more accepted as the team gets better. And you know, I'm looking at the Blue Jays the same way. People might not think of these guys as big names, but once the team starts winning, you start looking at key contributions from some of the guys that you look at as, you know, peripheral players. And I think that's the same thing with the Raptors. Once they get going, once they get winning, some of the role players will garner a little bit more attention.
416-870-0591, 888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. From his perspective as well, and I'm sure you agree, Jonesy, at this point in the season as well, with due respect to Allen Anderson and Ben Uzo and Justin Dentman, you are talking about guys that most
10-day guys,
you know,
yeah.
You know, that are filling out, you know, contracts right now and filling out roster spots. So you're not at this point, I suppose, sort of generating new fans in these final 10, 12 games based on individuals, but hopefully if the team continues to play hard or set some sort of culture, then maybe you do get some folks. At the end of the day, I think a lot of fans, though, would simply say, man, I just call me when you're winning.
Yeah.
I want to follow a winner. And that's for any sport, and that's for any fan. And that you can't be faulted for that. No, no doubt.
Not at all.
It.
Not at all.
416-870-0591, 888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. But another 5-7 minutes to take your calls to the top of the hour. OKC on Sunday, Jonesy.
Mm-hmm.
The next game for the Raptors, it's Easter Sunday, then going back-to-back against the Pacers. But the Thunder this year have continued to just sort of keep everybody, maybe not at an arm's length, but just putting the hand on the forehead of the little brother and just saying, stay off, stay off, stay off. But they got a lot of competition now coming at them with, of all teams, the San Antonio Spurs just barking at them, sitting in that number two spot in the West.
There is no substitute for veteran experience. I mean, you think about the Spurs and Tim Duncan, and you heard the interview with Matt Bonner last night on Hoops. Championship pedigree never goes away. I mean, as much as people are killing Tiger Woods for going backwards now and what he's been through and, oh, he'll never win again, the dude knows how to win. You don't forget that. And the Spurs have championships. You can't dismiss that. The Lakers have titles. Yes, a bunch of stuff has changed in their organization, but they're still the Lakers. You can't just throw them out the window. There are teams that like that have a pedigree, Eric.
Well, let me just jump in and update. San Antonio won tonight. OKC lost.
Uh-oh.
The Thunder have now lost three in a row, and the Spurs are now the number one team in the Western Conference.
Bingo.
So it's happening just the way you were just talking about. The updated standings as we literally speak right now, the San Antonio Spurs, number one, having won nine in a row, and the Thunder, with a three-game losing streak, have dropped down to number two. The Lakers sitting in the third seed with the Clippers just behind in the four. How nice would it be if L.A. Lakers fell down one, the Clippers kind of stayed where they are, and you get that 4-5 battle of L.A.?
Or if OKC ends up playing Dallas in the first round. That was the conference, a conference final from a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
Terrific matchup.
Well, right now it would be the Lakers and the Mavericks.
Yeah.
In the first round.
Yeah, that was a 4-0 last year, right?
416-870-0591, 888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. The Raptors, again, losing by four tonight. And Jonesy, to look at the East, Chicago still the number one seed. Miami loses tonight, so they're still sitting in that number two slot. But the Pacers are sitting there in number three, and I think they got obviously a ton of work to do to even think about trying to go after, you know, the number two Heat. They're five games behind. It's not going to happen, but they could, if they can't kind of keep on this road, lock down that number three, which could be huge for them in terms of some home court advantage. And right now, you'd be looking at the Orlando Magic and a team that's got obviously a lot of turmoil going on now that just, it continues with Dwight Howard and Stan Van Gundy, something that I spent a great deal of time talking to Jack Armstrong about in the pregame show. You and I didn't talk about it over the course of the broadcast, but this thing has gotten uglier and uglier. We talked about it a little bit last night on Hoops, but Dwight Howard is totally mishandling this entire thing, and now Stan Van Gundy not necessarily handling it well either by letting it play out in the media and starting to take his shots and get involved. But I wonder how much of that could even be Stan trying to force the hand as opposed to saying, I'm not quitting. You want to get rid of me?
Yeah.
I'm going to get paid.
If I'm going down, I'm going down the way I'm comfortable. I mean, that's the situation. The pool has been poisoned there. you know, Dwight wants Stan out. Stan hears, I love his line. Somebody says, what's your source? He goes, what do you mean source? I work here. I talk to people. Like, what? I don't need a source. And look, it would be like, you know, Aston over there telling me, hey, Jonesy, you know, they're going to fire Eric. And I say, what? I mean, it doesn't work like that. It can't work like that. That now you and I can't work together. Aston and I can't work together. What's your relationship like with him? It's just a mess right now in Orlando. Something's going to have to be done. And I don't see this team getting out of the first round if this kind of stuff keeps up.
Again, the Raptors tonight lose to the Cavs 84-80. Before we wrap things up here from Real Sports Apparel, let's hear from a man that we've addressed a couple of times during the course of the last 40 minutes or so. For the second straight game, DNP CD, here is James Johnson.
Coach's decision, I'm riding with it, and, you know, our guys have been playing well without me, so just cheer for my team and do what any other teammate would do if they were getting DNP.
Is it frustrating, though? Watching games slip away in the fourth quarter when your skill set maybe helps?
I just cheer for my team, man. Like, that's all I can do. I just work here, and I'm happy to work here. So, like I said, the guys are playing well, and I'm a cheer for them.
Have you been given an explanation as to why you haven't
played? I don't really need one. You know, it's an internal matter between the coach and me, and I'm going to deal with it.
So there you go, no explanation from James Johnson, internal matter. And before we close it up, let's hear from Andrea Bargnani after the four-point loss as well.
Yeah, we played a great third quarter defensively, and then, you know, our defense wasn't there. We were not focused anymore. We missed the coverage on Jamison like 10 times in a row. I mean, that was the game right there. I mean, Jamison had like 8 points at the end of the third quarter and finished with 20 some. So.
You don't want to make any excuses, obviously, but is it more difficult when you have new guys coming in and you have a system that they're sort of learning on the fly?
No, like you said, there is no excuse that we were playing good, so there was no reason today to play a fourth quarter like this. But of course, I mean, it's tough for Justin and Ben. Justin came in this morning, so of course it's difficult for them, you know, to learn the plays, to get involved. But I think they did a great job, you know.
How tough is it to withstand a stretch like that without Jose in the lineup?
It's tough. I mean, it's a starting point guard, of course. I mean, when we miss that, we miss, you know, a big part of the team. But like I said, I mean, the new guys did a very good job, you know, for what they can do. Again, Justin came in this morning.
Is there anything specifically that changed with you during the game? You came out, you were shooting really well.
No, nothing. It was all the defense. I mean, the fourth quarter, the defense, we make them shoot 40 free throws. That was the game right there, and Jabison scored like all those.
There is Andrea Bargnani, finished the ball game with 19 points, started 6 of 6, finished the rest of the game 2 of 16. Rough night at the office overall after the hot start for Bargnani. Finishes with 19 points. DeRozan had a team-high, game-high 28, but the Raptors get outscored 33-17 in the final frame, blow a 13-point lead in the third, a 12-point lead going into the fourth, lose 84-80. Thanks to Brian and Joe back at Raptors Central down here, Dylan and Aston, the entire crew working on the broadcast tonight. Appreciate all the effort. We're going to hit the road tomorrow now for OKC on Sunday, Indy on Monday. Raptors lose to the Cavs 84-80. It's been The Wrap and Toronto Raptors basketball on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.